Appaloosa Radio offers dry, wheat, stubble and original audio story. Chapter 5. Lisa Murray Blake, as she preferred to write her name, did not marry for money. The various insurance policies that George Paternino had purchased gave her a solid financial base. She was also quick at seeing opportunities. After Jeff Blake and his three sons had moved into her house, she used her skill at sensing opportunity to their fiscal advantage. She spent about 2 hours each day studying the stock markets. She subscribed to the Wall Street Journal and to Barron's, watched the cable news shows, and conducted her own independent research. As a result, she became an excellent stock picker, buying at a low and selling at a high. Within 5 years, she had multiplied the original insurance money to 12 times its original value. She also blocked Jeff Blake from making stupid investments that could drain the family's finances. She allowed him some expensive toys, motorcycles, a recreational vehicle, a jet boat, but no so-called investments. She did not marry for money. Nor did she marry for love. She was explicit in saying so. Jeff loved her, and she was very responsive to his lovemaking approaches, but she was never starry-eyed in love with him. She liked him. She cared for him. He was important to her. However, she was never shot with Cupid's arrows. Nor did she ever drink love potion number 9. So, it was not for money. Nor was it for love. She married him, I now believe, because Sergeant Jeff Blake was her backstop, her barrier, her break. As long as he was a central figure in her life, she would not return to drug dependency. She could not allow herself to go there again. Jeff Blake stopped her. He was the mountain she could not get around. Never again. I'm married to the guy who makes sure, never again. Becky Blake moved up from Geary and I hired her as one of my assistant tellers. I was the chief teller at the Mountain Peak National Bank in Arvada, Colorado. I like Becky. She has a great laugh, and I have always found her warm and personable. However, as a bank teller, well, she was problematic. She had two problems. First, she would be distracted by something, and lose her focus. If you lose focus while counting money, you have problems. Second, she wanted to make every customer a personal friend. Sure, you have to make customers feel comfortable, but it is a business that depends on efficiency. No one wants to stand in a long line while you engage in personal conversations. Because I liked her, I spent quite a lot of time training her to have tighter focus and to efficiently, and positively, deal with clients. After lots of work, she became a minimally acceptable teller. She met the minimum standards that we had established for our tellers, but her performance was such that I could never promote her. That's too bad. We start our tellers at the minimum wage. As they are promoted, we quickly increase their salary. Becky Blake always remained one of our lowest paid. She really needed the money. Most of her income was going toward her rent on a small studio apartment in Arvada. If she qualified for promotion, she could afford a much nicer place. Becky had come to Arvada to be close enough to her son so they could visit her on weekends. Unfortunately, The visitations did not go well. Becky's tiny studio apartment was crowded and in a not-too-nice area. Everyone was crammed into a small space. Two of the boys slept on the floor. The youngest shared his mother's bed. She did not have cable TV, video games, a basketball court, four-wheel drive ATVs for whizzing through the forest, or a pool with a diving board for doing tricks. Becky did not ski or snowboard. She drove an old car. Most importantly, she cooked food they no longer liked. Becky still liked to fry eggs in grease, make bologna sandwiches, and serve chocolate milk made from a powdered mix. It was a pain for any of the guys to spend the weekend at their mother's place. They complained often and loudly. They were disrespectful to her, calling her names to her face. Once, she became so angry that she slapped one of the guys. None wanted to come back to her house ever again. As the visitations diminished, Becky began to fall deeper and deeper into a persistent, all-consuming depression. Becky's world lost its colors, going to gray then finally to black. Black as the darkness itself that she felt in every extremity of her body. It sat like a 1,000-pound weight on her neck, pressing her down to her knees, to the floor itself. She stopped eating, but the stress itself ballooned her weight. Her voice dropped from her pleasant alto to a deep bass. She began to have delusions, seeing things that were not really there. One terrible night, the father of evil, Lucifer himself, visited her, claiming her sacred soul as his own. It is strange, Becky thought, he doesn't look like any of the pictures she had seen. He bore an uncanny resemblance to Mr. Burton, the very nice mechanic who had worked on her car. I never knew that the devil could be nice. It is just part of his trickery. He is the master of all deception. If you have ever visited Colorado, you know that our state has many gun shops. I was about to say, There is one on every corner. It would be more accurate to say, every other corner. However, since you can also buy guns in the large discount stores like Wrangler's, and you can buy ammunition at sporting goods stores, well, there are a lot of places that sell guns. Becky Blake was a farm girl, and on her family's farm, there were guns. However, Becky was always afraid of them. She never joined her brothers in shooting bottles and cans. She had never gone hunting. She had never loaded a gun, never cleaned one, never bought one. Yet, after Lucifer had claimed her soul, she found herself in a large gun emporium asking about muzzle velocity and magazine capacity. A growing number of women were arming themselves, so the clerk at the gun emporium thought nothing of the middle-aged woman with the scraggly dark hair seeking to buy a gun. However, most women wanted a handgun, something they could carry in a purse. This woman wanted something larger, something more military. She seemed drawn to a particular large magazine weapon, the kind often called an assault weapon. The one that she was interested in was priced at $350. With the added state tax, it would be almost every penny she had in her checking account. The rent of her tiny apartment was due next week. She needed the money to pay her rent. But she felt drawn to the gun. Maybe the clerk had a used one. She would also need to buy bullets. He found one. It had been treated roughly by its previous owner, but at the business end, it still functioned well. And it was $75 less. She agreed and asked also for a box of ammunition. She was completing the required paperwork, writing her full name, social security number, current address, stating she had no previous felonies. Then Mighty Jehovah, Father God, Lord of the Universe spoke directly to her.
Becky Blake, thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not take the blood of innocents. I am a god of love, not hate. Love one another. In my name, love one another.
Becky dropped the pen that she had been using. She looked at the clerk and shook her head with a definitive, no, not doing it. Then, she walked directly out of the gun emporium. Even though there was still snow on the ground, she walked to a nearby park and sat at a cement picnic table, staying for hours, enjoying God's exhilarating creation. Thank you.
Thank you.